Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome back to another hour of the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. You can call us 877-726-TALK. That's 877-726-8255. Be part of the conversation. Ask me any question you like about medicine, nutrition, overall health. And before we get to callers, let's talk about magnesium. A couple of new studies just out in the past couple of weeks. Effective magnesium supplementation on depression status in depressed patients. A randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial. They looked at 60 depressed people, but they had previously tested them. They found that they were deficient in magnesium. They were given two 250 milligram tablets of magnesium oxide daily, and the other group of depressed patients just got a placebo pill. And what they found was that after the magnesium, 88% of the patients had normalized their magnesium. The ones who got magnesium, the ones who didn't, most of them didn't normalize their magnesium. And the average Beck depression score significantly declined. So they found that there were improvements in depression status accompanying higher levels of magnesium. And resolving magnesium deficiency, they conclude, positively influences the treatment of depressed patients. So if you're depressed, I mean, many reasons for depression. It could be thyroid, it could be a nutrient deficiency, B12, magnesium, essential fatty acids. But if magnesium deficiency is at fault, there's a good chance that there will be some improvement. Now, here's another one, also from the last couple of months. Magnesium has a role in reducing the risk of dementia. And here, in the previous study, I wasn't too happy with the choice of magnesium because it was magnesium oxide, the cheapest, most diarrhea-producing, least well-absorbed form of magnesium. But I guess it's proof of principle that magnesium works. But if I were to undertake such an experiment, and in my clinical practice, I use something called magnesium threonate, brand name Magtine. The brand I use is called Cogumin. The one I use is called Protosorb Magnesium. Cogumin is the curcumin that I use for brain health. Protosorb Magnesium is magnesium threonate. And the idea here is that the bioavailability of magnesium varies. Magnesium oxide and magnesium citrate make pretty good laxatives, but they're not that well absorbed to kind of run right through you. Other forms of magnesium are more expensive, less likely to cause diarrhea or gastrointestinal intolerance. I mean, you can use magnesium citrate. It's an excellent laxative if you want that effect. But if you want absorption of magnesium, you may prefer a more bioavailable form, such as magnesium threonate, especially if you're interested in the effects on the brain. So they looked at rodents, in this case, rats. They were treated with magnesium threonate, and they looked at maze behavior, the ability to learn and execute memory-dependent tasks. And they looked at both young rats and older rats. And what they then did is, okay, animal lovers, sorry about that. They then sacrificed the animals and looked at their brains. And the ones receiving magnesium showed increased synaptic density in the hippocampus, the part of the brain that's associated with memory. So it actually helped to grow new brain connections in the central part of the brain that is involved in processing memory. So yet another study showed that oral administration of magnesium threonate enhanced learning and memory in young rats and also prevented age-associated memory decline in mice who were bred to mimic Alzheimer's disease. So this is very cool. And but those are rats, right? So what, what magnesium threonate is, it's a magnesium salt of the vitamin C metabolite L-threonic acid. And it was designed to be more bioavailable than other forms of magnesium, so it can be given in smaller doses without any laxative effect. And it is the only form of magnesium definitively documented to cross the blood-brain barrier. See, there's a barrier to absorption of many things, and that's why it's controversial as to whether certain things properly get into the brain when taken orally. But with magnesium threonate, it's been shown to actually increase levels of magnesium in the CSF, the cerebrospinal fluid. So, as to humans, okay, here's a study. In a 12-week study, investigators looked at 44 men and women with mild cognitive impairment. They either got a placebo or they got magnesium threonate. And then they evaluated them according to executive function, working memory, attention, and what's called episodic memory. They also measured the magnesium excretion in the urine, as well as blood levels of magnesium. And they found that the ones who received the magnesium threonate had an improvement in multiple cognitive domains. Improvements in executive function, working memory. So the research suggests that we've got a therapy that can target both depression as well as its accompaniment, anxiety, but may have benefits in terms of staving off cognitive decline. And, oh, by the way, magnesium and sleep. Several studies indicate that magnesium can also help people with insomnia. That's why one popular remedy for insomnia is called Calms, and it's a magnesium supplement you take at bedtime. In a double-blind, placebo-controlled study of 46 elders with moderate to severe insomnia. By the way, interesting article in the Wall Street Journal today about how as you get older, it's almost invariable that your sleep quality declines. I mean, you may spend the requisite amount of time in bed, but your sleep efficiency declines as your brain function deteriorates with age. And in this study of 46 elders, supplementation with, again, magnesium oxide, not my favorite, 500 milligrams of elemental magnesium as magnesium oxide resulted in marked improvements of subjective measures of insomnia. They'd improved sleep efficiency, sleep time, and ability to fall asleep faster. They had less early morning awakening. They also had improved blood levels of renin, melatonin, and cortisol, all of which have an impact on sleep efficiency. It seems that magnesium may help regulate melatonin, which influences the sleep-wake cycles. Of course, you can take melatonin at bedtime along with magnesium. Magnesium binds to GABA receptors, helping to quiet nerve activity. That's the same principle as is used in the sleep medication Ambien. So magnesium is clearly beneficial, and the type that works, in my opinion, best for the brain is magnesium threonate. The product I use, Protosorb Magnesium, you can find it on Fullscript, which is our online dispensary, Protosorb Magnesium. All right, we'll be taking your phone calls momentarily. We've got several. 877-726-8255. We'll also answer the question, how likely is it that your dietitian or nutritionist is him or herself suffering from an eating disorder? Interesting study. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Mom, my nose is stuffy. Can I have some Clear?
Sure, honey.
Wow, your child actually asks for a nasal spray? My kids hate the chemical taste.
Well, this isn't a chemical spray. This is Clear.
Clear?
Yep, Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R. It's the natural nasal spray made with xylitol. It has no chemicals, so it's perfect for my whole family.
How does it work?
Naturally. One spray is all it takes. My kids ask for it because they know it works fast and they even like the taste.
All done.
Do you feel better?
Yep, thanks, Mom.
Why hasn't my doctor talked to me about Clear?
Good question.
Made with xylitol, Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, is the natural nasal spray that's perfect for adults and 100% safe for kids. Clear alleviates congestion caused by colds, allergies, flus, and pollen and dander. One spray is all it takes to keep your entire family clean and clear. So ask for Clear by name. That's X-L-E-A-R at fine retailers like CVS, Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, Sprouts, and Kroger's. Or find a retailer near you at clear.com.
As we age, it's important to keep moving, but it doesn't have to hurt. You know, sometimes pain is inevitable, but suffering can be optional. In addition to healthier eating habits and staying active, I've discovered a powerful new formula to help provide nutritional support for healthy inflammation response. Kyolic Curcumin from our friends at Kyolic. Kyolic Curcumin is a synergistic combination of the antioxidant properties of odorless aged garlic extract, along with a proprietary Mariva turmeric complex made from a unique blend of curcumin and phosphatidylcholine to help maximize absorption. I take Kyolic Curcumin every day to provide natural support for healthy inflammation response, joint and muscle health, cardiovascular benefit, colon and liver function, as well as other nutritional benefits. So take the first step with Kyolic Curcumin. The rest is easy.
Kyolic Curcumin is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. For more information, visit kyolic.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And let's take a call from Henry in White Plains, New York. Hi, Henry.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman.
Hi.
I've been diagnosed with Sjogren's syndrome and SIBO. Oh. And they're obviously affecting my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. They're kind of ruining my day-to-day living.
Yeah. So for our listening audience, you know, Sjogren's syndrome, much more common in women than in men, but it can occur in men.
Right.
And what are your symptoms? You have dry mouth?
Dry internal nasal passages.
Yeah.
Constipation, mm-hmm. bloating.
Is it affecting your gastrointestinal system in that?
Oh, yeah. That's the worst part, I think.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what to eat. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of discomfort, bloating, and constipation.
Okay. Now, does it affecting your lungs, or is it affecting any your kidneys or anything like that?
No.
Okay, good. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Sure. So I had one doctor who diagnosed me with SIBO, mm-hmm. and I was on the low FODMAP diet.
Right.
It didn't do much except I lost weight, mm-hmm. because there's a limited number of things you can eat.
Exactly.
And then for the Sjogren's, just recently.
Just by the way, excuse me, the FODMAP diet is, it's one of those things that you, it's not like a lifetime diet, you know, like a some kind of preventive diet. It's just basically an experiment to see if the alteration in foods changes your symptoms. Here's the problem with Sjogren's is, with normal patients who have IBS-C, IBS with constipation, you may see an improvement with the FODMAP diet, or with probiotics, or with any number of things. But when you have Sjogren's, sometimes it affects your motility. It actually will affect the way that your nerves propel the food down the food tube. And so, you know, I have to know more about your medical story to find out if that's the case, because in that case, it's less likely that a diet change or supplements will have a big impact on this.
Right.
So in general, Sjogren's, since it's an autoimmune condition, responds to a paleo diet, lots of fish oil, perhaps higher doses of anti-inflammatory nutrients like curcumin and boswellin, higher amounts of vitamin D, for example. Vitamin E may be helpful in this as well. Many men who suffer from Sjogren's have low levels of testosterone or DHEA, which also help reduce the autoimmunity and reduce inflammation. So, you know, you might need a comprehensive program to attack the underlying cause of the digestive problems, rather than lumping you in with all the other patients who have ordinary run-of-the-mill IBS. Here, the disease itself may be the cause of your GI symptoms. There's, you know, Sjogren's may involve the mucous membranes typically, but it may also go internal in a more serious variation of Sjogren's and thus affect swallowing and thus affect motility. The place to go to get an analysis of that would be one of the centers that specializes in motility. There's one at, you're in White Plains, there's one at Columbia, maybe there's one at Montefiore, a little closer to you, maybe there's something up in Westchester. Yes, there's also one at Sinai Hospital here in New York City. And sometimes I refer my patients with more serious problems like yours for a workup because literally the propulsion of the food through your food tube may be impaired and you may require a more specialized therapy. You know, it may not be just be a matter of diet. All right?
Okay.
Thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
Sure.
And, it's a challenging condition, and I hope that you get better. All right, this item, are you suffering from frequent fatigue? Well, there's a nutritional formula that I use, and I use with my patients, that's clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. It's NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics. It works on the cell membranes. It repairs damaged cells. And clinical trials have shown that NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half via its effect on mitochondria. It may even have anti-aging effects. It's available in ProPax, which is a complete vitamin and mineral formula. It's got antioxidants. It's got omega-3s. It's a one-stop shop for your nutritional needs. But a while ago, I suggested to Nutritional Therapeutics that some people may want to keep their favorite multi and or their fish oil product, but still harness the power of NT Factor alone. So a new product, Healthy Aging, was born. It's the perfect accompaniment to whatever supplement regimen you're already taking, providing you with the unique energy support of pure NT Factor in a potent delivery system. Now, I've been taking NT Factor for years. I don't go a day without it. And now you can, too. With a 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. So order ProPax or Healthy Aging by calling 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we have more of your phone calls to answer. 877-726-TALK is our number if you want to get through. And this is the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. You know, commercials may be a pain for you, but they're actually a boon for me because I get to pause and look stuff up. And the previous caller was questioning me about Sjogren's syndrome. And I came across an article entitled Gastrointestinal Disease in Sjogren's Syndrome Related to Food Hypersensitivities. And it turns out that many patients with Sjogren's complain of abdominal pain, bloating, diarrhea, and fatigue, sometimes associated with the ingestion of certain foods. They may have difficulty swallowing, motility disorders, as I said, lack of pancreatic enzymes, and abdominal pain, diarrhea, constipation, bloating, flatulence, vomiting, nausea. So this is pretty common. And so in this study, it's a small study, but they took 10 patients at SUNY Buffalo, and they tested them for food allergies with a test called the IgG RAST food test. And by the way, that's a test it was done at University of Buffalo, but under experimental conditions, because it's no longer authorized for clinicians in New York, unfortunately. You can get it at 49 out of 50 states in the union. But here in New York, we've seen fit to ban that test, but it's useful. So based on that test, they eliminated the culprit foods, and they found a high degree of improvement in these patients when they eliminated the foods that were implicated by the IgG test. And then when they rechallenged them with the foods, the symptoms returned. So it is warranted to undertake a workup for food intolerances, either with a test or with a trial of an elimination diet, in patients who have gastro symptoms in Sjogren's disease. And food matters in many autoimmune conditions. The most common foods, wheat and dairy. So that's a good bet. Try and eliminate those foods to see if you're better. Maybe undertake something like a paleo diet on a short-term basis and see if it alleviates symptoms. Let's take a call now from Marion in New York City. How you doing, Marion?
Hi, Marion. I mean, hi, Dr. Hoffman. I enjoy listening to you.
Thank you.
My question is, are there any negative effects on the heart from eating fruit? And the reason I ask is because I'm seeing a health practitioner for something else, and along the way she said, you know, you have arteriosclerosis, and I do. Mm-hmm. It turns out that a sonogram showed 30% blockage, and I do have chest pain. It's pretty worrying to me. Mm-hmm. She said the fructose in fruit forms little hard grains like sand, which mm-hmm. form tears. Right, yeah. In the endothelial lining.
What type of health practitioner is that? Because
she uses homeopathy and bioresonance devices from Europe.
Okay. So she's a little, shall we say, a little eccentric, and there is a tendency in my community, the community of health, you know, alternative health practitioners or nutritionally oriented health practitioners, to demonize fructose. And I actually wrote an article on this, it's about 6 weeks ago, and you can look it up at drhoffman.com. And, you know, fructose is present in the normal human diet in the form of fruit. And the fruit that we have today is far more plentiful and far less seasonal than it was in Paleolithic times. And we consume lots of it, plus we've revved up our intake of fructose with a lot of synthetically manufactured high fructose corn syrup, which comes from corn. So actually, it's been shown that all that excess fructose that we put into our diets because of fruit juice, which is kind of unnatural, and cola beverages, soft drinks, and food sweetened with high fructose corn syrup, candy and the like, that this is what contributes to cardiovascular disease. It's actually scientifically incorrect to say it forms like little hard nodules in your blood vessels. Maybe that's an oversimplification of the process by which fructose causes risk factors for heart disease. But to say to stop eating fruit, that's a mistake. Now, there are some exceptions, is when patients are vastly overweight, when they have very high triglycerides, too much fruit is just a calorie source, and also can contribute to high triglycerides. So we sometimes tell patients, minimize your fruit intake, maybe just have a small portion of berries. They're not really that laden with fructose. Don't have lots of succulent pineapple and watermelon and things like that that deliver a lot of sugar. But, you know, this advice is eccentric, to say the least. And in maybe this is a good point at which to enter this article into evidence. I promised to talk about it today. The title of the article is Orthorexia Nervosa and Eating Disorder Symptoms in Registered Dietitian Nutritionists in the United States. Now, this health practitioner that you're talking about wasn't even a registered dietitian, not even clear that she received any kind of standardized training. She's providing nutrition advice based on beliefs that she may have inherited through unreliable sources, and thus her advice may be unscientific and wrong. But, well, you know, let's look at this proposition. Could the dietitian that you're seeing be suffering from an obsessive eating disorder? Well, there are crazy psychologists, perhaps, where they gravitate to the study of the mind because they themselves are worried about going nuts. They're crooked cops. They're firemen who are arsonists, they're pedophile priests. So even among the profession of people who tell us what to eat, among them may lurk some individuals who themselves have some pretty funky attitudes towards foods. This is an article in the Journal of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, which is the journal of registered dietitians in the U.S. So they're sort of self-critiquing their profession. What's orthorexia nervosa? Well, it's a term defined as, quote, a fixation on righteous eating. It was coined by my good colleague, Dr. Stephen Bratman, in 1977. Many years ago, 20 years ago, I interviewed him on my previous show, Health Talk. They say thinking about food choices is a large part of both the work of RDNs as well as part of the pathology of orthorexia nervosa and eating disorders. An increased prevalence of eating disorders has been reported among registered dietitians. And so they did a study to see what percentage might be suffering from either orthorexia nervosa, which is an obsessive concern with food, or even worse, an eating disorder like anorexia, bulimia, something that is a really heavy-duty psychiatric diagnosis. Well, here's what they found. 8.2 of the registered dietitians surveyed were suffering from a frank eating disorder. Okay, well, that's not that many, but what about orthorexia nervosa, which is an obsessive concern with food? 44.6% would be considered as suffering from orthorexia nervosa. 47% were considered not inappropriately obsessed with food. But in the eating disorder group, there were 29 women who were actually receiving treatment for anorexia nervosa while advising clients, 16 for bulimia, 15 for an eating disorder not otherwise specified, 11 for binge eating disorder. And I would say that, you know, maybe because of concealment, those results are an underestimate. Now, I'm not trying to impugn registered dietitians. I'm just saying that people sometimes gravitate towards professions that reflect their own underlying problems. And so be on the lookout. You know, we don't want to foster a following of people who are obsessed to the point of harming themselves or to the point of being anxious and worried all the time about every morsel of food they put in their mouth. It's important, but it's not so important as to drive you into an eating disorder or orthorexia nervosa. So be on the lookout if you're if the person advising you about diet has overly restrictive criteria for what constitutes healthy eating. Let's talk to Joya in Bedford, Iowa. How are you?
Hello, fine. Well, I could be fine if my statin muscles weren't screaming at me daily.
Yeah.
You've probably heard this a lot, or maybe
sure.
Not. Maybe
yep.
I'm unique.
Yeah.
But I had quadruple bypass surgery 4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and as of now, I have perfect attendance at cardiac rehab.
Yeah,
haven't
good.
Missed a session.
So you're able to exercise, and you're okay. Good.
Yes, but it hurts like the very devil. I've scarcely been able to make it in and out of the hospital without having some soul come up to me and say, "Hun, can I get you a wheelchair?"
Yeah.
So
here's let me explain to our listeners what's going on here. I once saw on the Today Show, I saw a guy who was head of the American Heart Association. I don't remember his name, but he was a spokesperson for statins, basically. I guess he was, you know, hired and publicized by the drug companies to talk about the benefits of statins after a new study came out showing that they conferred additional protection on people. And he got on the air and they said, "What about side effects?" And he said, "Oh, side effects on statins are extremely rare. They occur in 1 in 10,000 people." And I just was aghast, because if that's the case, how come I see literally dozens of patients in my little practice here in New York City, a practice, well, not that small, but it comprises, you know, thousands of people, but not millions of people, that I see such a high number of people reporting side effects from these medications. And you are having devastating side effects. Now, the problem is that you have a very strong rationale for being on a statin. You've had bypass surgery, and that almost dictates that you be on a statin. But here's the consideration. If, you know, you got to do a risk-benefit analysis on this, is that, yes, there is likely to be benefit in taking a statin to protect your bypass arteries because there's less of a chance that you'll have a recurrence of your cardiovascular disease. But what's the point of living another, you know, 20 or 30 more years when the benefits are real but slight, but the consequences are that your quality of life is destroyed? And if you were my patient, I would look to alternatives. I would say, hey, you know, you're among the people, there's far more than 1 in 10,000, maybe more like 5 to 10%, who just don't do well on statins. And rather than this being the bane of your existence, let's do everything else we can to lower your cardiovascular risk. Surely there are other ways to lower cardiovascular risk. There are many natural substances that provide protection. You might do better on a low dose of red yeast rice, which offers you at least some of the benefits of statins, but it's much better tolerated. You could benefit from bergamot, which is something that flavors Earl Grey tea. You might benefit from high-dose fish oil, vitamin K, resveratrol, EGCG from green tea, curcumin. There are many, pycnogenol, there are many natural things that protect the arteries. And, you know, you valiantly tried, and you suffered for it. And, you know, I would say that quality of life trumps the additional protection that you would be getting from statins in this case. And you might want to see someone who's least open to that perspective. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be a holistic or integrative physician, just a concerned internist who might just say, hey, let's look for another way to reduce your risks. And exercise, of course, is one of the ways, and diet is one of the ways. Those are important foundations of what you can do, much more important even than just taking a pill. Thanks very much for your call. I'm sorry you're having so much trouble. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Take advantage of everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer. Just go to drhoffman.com. There you'll find cutting-edge articles and resources vital to your health and wellness. Subscribe to the podcast and newsletter to keep Intelligent Medicine content flowing all week long. Also go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients. Finally, become a patient of my practice. I will personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all of our intelligent medicine principles. Or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our nutritionist. She'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Get the intelligent medicine experience. Go to drhoffman.com. drhoffman.com.
Ah, the pursuit of anti-aging. We diet, exercise, use the latest moisturizers, but did you know that dietary supplements can make a huge difference too? Our body's master antioxidant, glutathione, plays a significant role in the anti-aging process by helping to keep our strands of DNA healthy. At the end of our DNA strands are telomeres, little caps that protect our DNA and chromosomes. Over time, these caps can become frayed and cell aging accelerates. Anti-aging studies suggest that by boosting our body's glutathione levels, we can reduce telomere shortening and help protect our DNA. But since our glutathione levels decrease as we age, we need some help. RegActive is a revolutionary and remarkable supplement that is transforming the future of anti-aging health and wellness. RegActive features ME3, which has over 20 years of research and is proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione in our body, helping to support our cellular and anti-aging health. RegActive is available on Amazon.com. That's REG-ACTIV.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. We have about 4 or 5 minutes to address this momentous question, which is, what's the biggest problem facing humanity today? Is it terrorism? Is it global warming? Is it natural catastrophes such as fires, floods, hurricanes, typhoons? Or is it pollution? Or is it the prospect that we'll be hit by an asteroid at some point in the future? Well, let me submit to you that this is the problem. The number of obese children and adolescents rose to 124 million in the year 2016. That's worldwide. More than 10 times higher than the 11 million classified as obese 40 years ago in 1975. That is a stark statistic. It's published in The Lancet, world's leading medical journal, last Tuesday. 213 million children and adolescents were overweight in 2016. So where are some of the hot spots? Pacific Islands, more than 30% of their youth ages 5 to 19 estimated to be obese. But newly prosperous countries like Kuwait and Qatar in the Middle East, levels of obesity above 20% for adolescents and kids. Countries in the Caribbean, Puerto Rico is up there. And what these countries have in common is a great leap forward in the ability to fend off starvation. But the net result has been a huge increase in the incidence of childhood and adolescent obesity. In India and Pakistan, 50% and almost 41% of girls were underweight in 2016. Massive amounts of overweight occurring. So we have the deep divide between those starving and those who now are suffering from overweight. And this is malnutrition. This is a new definition of malnutrition. Mal means bad nutrition. Are we exempt from it in the United States? Well, we haven't seen a tenfold increase since the 1970s, but a troubling new report released by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention just this last Friday shows that almost 40% of American adults and nearly 20% of adolescents are obese. What that means is that we've reached a historical point where people of normal or optimal weight are now officially in the minority. 1 in 5 adolescents in the U.S. ages 12 to 19 are considered obese. 1 in 5 kids ages 6 to 11 ages 2 to 5. 1 in 10 preschoolers are considered obese. So this is a problem with devastating consequences, because the consequences of the obesity epidemic are high blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease, and stroke that are killing millions of Americans annually. And the obesity epidemic is a huge burden on the American healthcare system. It makes up for $190 billion a year in weight-related medical bills. And these, you know, we're actually in an enviable position. We're a rich country able to handle some of the consequences of our overindulgence and sedentary habits. But other parts of the world are rapidly catching up. And this is going to cause an enormous economic burden. And may sink the economies of some of the developing countries. So this is really what our message is all about. Intelligent medicine is about preventing and treating diseases naturally via diet, exercise, natural approaches. And you can find out more by going to drhoffman.com. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to our newsletter. And don't forget to check out our store at drhoffman.com. We've got lots of the products that we mentioned on this program available there. And we hope that they support your health and can help us alleviate this terrible burden of disease that we're facing. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA, and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. They source only the highest quality, deep, cold water fish using traditional, sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and 28 of their fish oils have received the highest 5-star rating from the International Fish Oil Standards Program. Carlson is the number one selling liquid fish oil brand in the United States. Carlson's award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing supplements or who prefer this delivery method. For more information, go to CarlsonLabs.com. CarlsonLabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.